your place in God's story by exercising faith in him throughout your life. Just like Abraham exercised faith through his life. The scripture says in Hebrews 11 and verse 6 that without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So we look at the legacy of faith that is put before us in God's word from Abraham. And first of all, we find initial faith, the beginnings of faith. Now, in Abraham's story, as we look at initial faith, that first faith, our introduction to his faith comes at a point when he's 75 years old. And we don't know that that's necessarily his initial faith, but it is our introduction to his faith in the scripture. But we can have initial faith as children, and most people put their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior between the ages of 4 and 17. How many of you trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior as a child? Yeah. But just because you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior as a child doesn't mean that you can't. You can still exhibit childlike faith regardless of age. And I remember in New Berlin, New York, as my dad pastored at First Baptist Church, I can remember the day that Mr. Perkins came to my dad's study and left, and my dad came out of his office filled with joy. Mr. Perkins was 86 years old, and he trusted Christ. He came to childlike faith at the age of 86. Now, in our introduction to Abraham's faith, it's at the age 75, and it's recorded for us in Genesis 12. But Jesus says to us, and it's recorded in Luke 18 and verse 7, "Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter into it." So childlike faith is what's put before us. It's like that child trusting their father, you know, complete trust. I can remember the day that my daughter Elizabeth is a child in her single digits of years trusted me like this. It was a Sunday morning. It was after church. I had finished the sermon. I was down in front, and I was talking to somebody in conversation here at the front, and I heard behind me a little girl's voice say, "Dad!" And I turned around, and the girl was in midair. I let her hit the ground. She's scarred for life. No, I didn't. I caught her. And I said, "Don't do that again." Childlike faith. Abraham exhibits initial faith. Now, if we think about the growth of faith and what happens with a child in a family, if a child grows up in a family knowing criticism, they'll grow up to condemn. If a child grows up in a family knowing only hostility, they'll grow up as a fighter. If a child grows up in a family only knowing shame, they'll grow up feeling unworthy. But if a child grows up in a family knowing God's faithfulness, having God's faithfulness underscored whenever it shows up in the life of the family, he or she's going to grow up trusting God in their life. Abraham's family is identified for us in Genesis chapter 11. And if you don't have your own Bible and you want to use the Pew Bible, Genesis 11 appears on page 8 in my pew Bible. Page 8, and at the end of chapter 11, it's on page 9, it says Abraham's family. And at verse 27 of Genesis 11, it says, this is the account of Terah's family line. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot. While his father Terah was still alive, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans in the land of his birth. Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. And she was the daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Ishkah. Now Sarai was childless because she was not able to conceive. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. And Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. So Abram grew up in Ur of the Chaldeans, and then he is settled in Haran as a young man married to a wife who is not able to have a child. And after the death of his father, Genesis 12, verse 1 records, the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, your father's household, to the land I will show you. And then notice Abram's response, verse 4. So Abram went as the Lord had told him. There is evidence of faith. This childlike faith that Abram believed God and did what he said. Just simply, God said, Abram, go from your country, your people, your father's household to the land I will show you. Abram went as the Lord had told him. He just simply obeyed. Question for us this morning as we consider initial faith is this: what are your family stories of childhood or childlike faith? I can imagine for Abram, there was a time when he would sit with Lot and Sarai and talk about what it was to trust God as their father Terah had. And then later when he has Isaac as a son, to sit and talk with Isaac about the faithfulness of God in keeping his promise to Abram and Sarai. What are your family stories of childhood or childlike faith? Worth you considering them and remembering them and recording them and sharing them to encourage faith in the generation to come. And to pause so that you can say thank you to your Heavenly Father for His faithfulness in your life. I can remember times when my mom and dad would sit down and share stories of faith from their childhood. One of my father, Don Aubrey's early childhood stories of faith is of him as a young man, age of 12 or 13, pulling a wagon load of hay with a team of horses back to the barn from the field in a thunderstorm. And there were lightning strikes and the clap of thunder being heard all around, and the horses were wanting to bolt. And they were spooked, and they wanted to bolt. And Dad was holding onto the reins with all his might as this young boy. And he relates that as he was gripping and white-knuckled with the reins on these horses, on the team of horses, he said he remembered a hymn that his mother, Irene Burwash Aubrey, would sing to him as a little boy. It was her favorite hymn. one of two of her favorite hymns, but this one was, God will take care of you. Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. And then the chorus goes, the refrain goes, God will take care of you through every day and all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Oh, what's the point of that hymn? God will care of you. And this white-knuckled lad trying to rein in a team of horses that were spooked, probably as spooked as he was, only bigger and stronger, trusted God. God will take care of me. And he said, God did. We made it to the barn without losing the load of hay or the team of horses or the wagon or my life. Initial faith, childhood or childlike faith. Abram grew up in a family of faith. He himself then learned to walk by faith. What are the stories in your family, in your life, of childhood or childlike faith? And the difference between childhood faith and childlike faith, remember, is that childhood faith is the faith that you exhibit in God as a child. Childlike faith is the faith you exhibit as an adult that's like a child, just simple faith, taking God at his word and trusting him. Second characteristic of Abram's faith is that his faith was right faith. Right faith. In God's eyes, it was faith that God credited as righteousness. The account of right faith that Abram exhibited is in Genesis chapter 15. The word of the Lord comes to Abram in a vision. And the Lord says to Abram, don't be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, you've given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. And the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. And he took him outside and he said, look at the sky, Abram. Look at the sky. And he looked up at the sky and he said, count the stars if you can count them. And then God said to Abram, so shall your offspring be. Now, Abram's 75 plus years old at this time. His wife, Sarah, has never been able to conceive a child. She's barren. And God's saying to him, no, Abram, a child from your own flesh and blood will be your heir. In fact, your descendants will be as numerous as the stars of the sky. And Abram lived in a place where you could see the stars, and they were many. And the record of Scripture is, verse 6, Abram believed the Lord. And he, God, credited it to him as righteousness. Now we might need to ponder that for a minute. What is right faith and how is faith credited as righteousness? Is this kind of like reward points? Some of you have Visa cards or other cards where there are reward points. And I recently had an email from my credit card company telling me that for the next 3 months, you know, if I dine at restaurants, if I pay my utility bills, if I purchase gasoline and a number of things, I will get double points. And I see here I should be getting triple points. But imagine for a moment that God was giving us reward points for our kind deeds, for what we would consider righteous deeds. What kind of deeds might get 1,000 points? Ponder that for a second. What kind of deeds might get 1,000 points? We're in an imaginary world here, okay? So we can play. Say it louder. Because I'm deaf. Going on a cruise, and you'll get 1,000 points? There you go. Someone, what kind of a deed might we get 1,000 points for? Saving someone's life? Well, I figured saving someone's life, that'd be like 100,000 points. Okay? 1,000 points, I made my bed, you know. I combed my hair. No, I didn't. Going to church, yeah. Yeah, every one of you today, 1,000 points. You're here. Yeah, and it's triple point Sunday. You get 3,000 points. Next week is quadruple Sunday. Come and you'll get quadruple the points. I hadn't thought about that. You're on to something. Yeah, we're going to have points. 100,000 points if you save someone's life. I think that would be that. What would be another 100,000 point kind of deed? Someone? Oh, leading someone to Christ. Yeah, leading someone to Christ. Great. So you get the idea. We earn points, reward points, and God credits it as righteousness. Observe the text. The text was, Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Abraham's faith was simple, but it's profound. He believed God's promise, and it was his faith, not his works. His faith, not his works, that in God's eyes was credited as if it was righteousness. And God credited it as righteousness. Catch that. His faith, not his works. So Abraham did not earn enough reward points for his faith that God would consider him righteous. No. Abram, like Adam and the rest of us, lost our righteous standing before God because of sin. Before God, we are unrighteous sinners. Romans 3 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. And yet God counted it, his faith, as righteousness. D.A. Carson, in his devotional book, For the Love of God, writes concerning this act of God. God requires of his image bearers, that's men and women, made in his likeness, he requires of his image bearers righteousness. But in this sinful race, when she accepts, crediting it as righteousness is faith. Faith that acknowledges our dependence on God, upon his word, upon his Christ. This faith of Abraham is what makes him the father of those who believe. The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3, 8 and 9, about righteousness. He says at verse 8, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them garbage that I might gain Christ. And be found in him, being found in Christ, not having a righteousness which is my own, that comes from the law, that comes from works, that comes from doing. But that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Right faith for us, this side of the cross of Jesus Christ, this side of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, right faith is faith in Christ who loved us and died for us, that we might know life in Him. And from the standpoint of God, when we put our faith in Christ, the scripture says He credits our faith as righteousness. And we receive Christ's righteousness, that which comes by faith in Christ. So Abram showed initial faith. He showed right faith, and then surprise, this man whom God credited his faith as righteousness also demonstrates faltering faith. Imagine that. Abraham demonstrates faith that is hindered by unbelief. It's hindered in two respects, very evident in his story in Genesis. It's hindered, first of all, because having believed God's promise and then looking at his circumstances, God's promise, you will have an heir that is your own flesh and blood. And then looking at his circumstances, Sarah is barren and can't have children. He decided to lean on his own understanding. He listened to other people rather than to God. In fact, in this case, he listened to Sarai. In chapter 16, now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. But she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has prevented me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can have a family through her." Now what she's suggesting was not out of the norm for the time and place in which Abram lived. It was today we might have people who look at surrogacy as a means for them having a child, and so they have another woman bear their biological child because they can't, so that they can have an heir, they can have a child. In Abram's day, there wasn't that kind of surrogacy. There was a surrogacy that provided that a servant in your home could bear a child, and from the legal standpoint, that child would be yours. And so Hagar bore Ishmael by Abram, but legally it was Sarah's and Abram's. And yet after the birth of Ishmael, or when Hagar was found to be with child, even then Sarah resented it and drove her servant away into the desert. And see, Abram said, yeah, if I listen to Sarah, this child, it's not possible for Sarah to have children. If I have a child with Hagar, it will be my flesh and blood. It will be my heir. That's the answer to God's problem. And sometimes we come up with answers to God's problems on our own. Not that God had a problem, but we give him problems. And then we answer them and make a mess of things. Sometimes we make a mess of things and falter in our faith because our circumstances seem impossible. Sometimes we falter in our faith because our fears are larger than our faith. Our fears are larger than our faith. And that was true of Abram. In Genesis 12, There's a famine in the land where Abram's living with his family, and so they go down to Egypt to make a life there where there's food. And Abram, as they enter Egypt, is afraid for his life. And so he says, the record of Scripture is this: when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me and let you live. So say that you're my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. And that's what he did. And Pharaoh took Sarai into his harem. And God inflicted sickness and disease on Pharaoh's household because of it. And Pharaoh's like, you know, why did you lie to me? Well, I was afraid you'd kill me. And then in Genesis 20, it's the same thing. Now it's King Abimelech. And Abram's afraid for his life. He moves to the region of the Negev, and he's living in Gerar, and he says to his wife Sarah, Genesis 20, verse 2, say that you are my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent for Sarah and took her. But God came to Abimelech in a dream and said to him, you're as good as dead because the woman you've taken is a married woman. And Abimelech says, oh. And he brings Abraham into his presence the next morning, and he says, what have you done? In verse 11, Abraham replies, I said to myself, there is surely no fear of God in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife. Besides, she really is my sister, after all. I didn't lie here. The daughter of my father, not by my mother, and she became my wife. Oh, that makes it okay. And he falters in his faith because his fears are larger than his faith. Like us. Sometimes our fears are larger than our faith. And we need to discover with Abraham that God is bigger than our fears. And then when it comes to his promise, nothing is impossible. Faltering faith. Faith that is hindered by unbelief. Abram inherited that from Adam, and we've inherited it from Abram. But we can also inherit a right faith. A faith that is credited to us as righteousness, because we trust in Jesus Christ who loved us and died for us. We don't receive reward points for our righteous deeds, but Jesus, when he died on the cross, paid for the certificate of debt, all of the sins that are held against us. On it is written, paid in full, because Jesus died in our place. The final characteristic of Abram's faith is proven faith. Proven faith. Faith that is tested by God. Abram has that son by Sarah. His name's Isaac. And now Isaac is a young man. And God says to Abram, take that son to Mount Moriah and there offer him as a sacrifice to me. The account begins in Genesis 22, verse 1, by saying, sometime later, God tested Abraham. And so Abraham in Genesis 22 is pictured carrying the wood and the hot embers, the fire, and Isaac, and traveling to Mount Moriah, building an altar of stone, preparing the fire, and laying his son Isaac on the fire, and Isaac saying, okay, well, where's the sacrifice? Abraham's response is, God will provide. What the record of Scripture says that Abram believed as he raised his knife to kill his son is that he would kill his son, but that God would raise his son from the dead. And with that knife in the air, ready to slay his own son as a sacrifice to the Lord, the angel of the Lord comes to Abram in Genesis 22 and says, whoa, no, don't. And at verse 12, he says, don't lay a hand on the boy, don't do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. God had tested Abram's faith, and he found that there was nothing on earth that Abraham would cling to or withhold from God. That Abram on earth in his life would desire to please God first and last, regardless of the price. God says, now I know that you fear me because you've not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And God tests our faith, not always in that same way, but in other ways. Apostle Peter puts it this way, in all of this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Not necessarily the same as Abram, but there will be tests where God tests your heart to see whether you love him first and most. These tests have come, verse 7, so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed, just like Abram's faith. When all is said and done, God puts us through tough stuff, not because he delights in causing us pain, but because he wants us to understand that he is to be trusted even in the midst of difficulty, and he wants to put our faith in him on display before a watching world, that they would recognize that Christ is first and most in our lives. Nothing else holds place there, and result in praise and glory and honor to Jesus our Lord. Now you can discover your place in God's story as a son or daughter of Abraham by exercising faith in God throughout your life, but beginning with trusting Christ as the one who loved you and gave himself up for you, so that by faith in Christ, God credits it as righteousness on your behalf. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have spoken and that you have given us the example in your word of Abram, one who trusted you early in life and then throughout his life.